In the auditorium. But we're so glad for him to be here. He's a second-generation missionary, was raised on the mission field. I heard him talking to his wife last night. You figure, you know, American missionary comes home, is having to call his wife. You know, normally they'd speak in English, but no, they're speaking some foreign language I don't understand. I think it's Spanish. Anyway, Brother Merlot, you come and speak to us and preach to us. Appreciate Brother Merlot.
Okay, thank you, Brother Cox. Well, buenos dias. Good morning. Sure is good to be here. People criticize me or make fun of me a lot or mess around with me because often we do speak in Spanish with my wife on the phone. And just the other day, I was with somebody, and half the conversation was in English, and half of it was in Spanish. He's like, why are you going back and forth like that? You talking bad about me some? I'm like, no. It's just a habit. On my mind, some things think in English, and sometimes it thinks in Spanish. So if you hear a little bit of Spanish in my preaching, don't get worried. Don't be nervous. It is biblical. So just bear with us. It sure has been good, though, to be back here, to be with your pastor just a little bit yesterday, and to see what the Lord is doing. He showed me not the gymnasium, but the activity center yesterday and today. Saw the activity center, and what a blessing to see what the Lord is doing, and just excited to see how the church is growing. And thank you for having a part in our ministry there in Argentina. We've been there now for a little over 2 years, and you'll see this in the video, so I won't go into much detail. But we've been helping out my parents in the southern part of Argentina, known as the Patagonia. Really been helping in whatever area we could. And now we'll be going up north. I say north. It's 12 hours from him, kind of still in the southern part, to a city called Bahía Blanca, which means White Bay. 340,000 people, roughly, and no independent fundamental Baptist church. So we'll be going back in May of this year, May 16th, and we'll be headed directly to the city of Bahía Blanca to begin finding a house, begin finding a place to meet. And so we do ask that you would pray with us. Just real quick about the video, you'll see a few pictures of a missions conference that we were able to have. That was the first missions conference that my parents' church has had. They've always been faithful in giving, and they've always taught the people to give, but they've never had a missions conference where we brought in a missionary like we would here. And that particular week, the Lord just really blessed people that were giving but still didn't understand it yet. Some of the newer Christians that didn't understand the whole concept yet. Well, after that week, the Lord blessed, and what came in doubled from the previous year. And so the church there in Argentina is able to support 12 different missions works. They support missionaries in Argentina. They support missionaries in Bolivia, missionaries in Morocco, and even in New York, in the state of New York. And so we want to say thank you for your faithfulness in giving, because that would not be possible without churches being faithful and sending forth missionaries so they can do the same work that you guys are doing here. So thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the video.
We are the Merlo family, missionaries to the country of Argentina. We have been blessed to serve in the southern part of Argentina.
Every capacity that was needed. Here are some of the highlights from the past 2 years in Argentina.
Señor, moriste por mí. Un hijo tuyo soy, en gratitud por tu gran amor, quien te lo ser te doy. Dios, si conmigo vas, y de lo quieras,
Continue to pray for us as we return to Argentina. Upon returning, we'll be starting our own work in the city of Bahía Blanca. This is a city in the central part of Argentina with around 330,000 people and no independent fundamental Baptist church. Please pray that God will send forth more laborers into his harvest field and that we could see more souls saved in the country.
Alright, hope that gave you an understanding of what the Lord's been doing. Real quickly, I'm sorry my family couldn't make it. Last time we were here, we had two children. We had a girl and a boy. The Lord has multiplied now, and we have four children. We have two girls and two boys, one Texan, amen, two Oklahomans, and one Argentinian. So, alright, well, let's open up our Bibles today to the book of Psalms. Psalms in chapter 113. Psalms 113, and we'll read the whole Psalms. All right, let's begin reading in verse 1 of Psalms 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princesses, even with the princesses of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. So the title that I gave to the message this morning is this, and it's a question. The question that we need to ask ourselves is this question. Is God great? Is God great? Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, thank you for the health, the ability to be in your house, and to start the week off, Lord, serving you and singing praises unto your name. Thank you for this Missions Emphasis Sunday. Pray that you would use this passage to challenge us, Lord, and to remember just who you are. Lord, we pray that you would use me, empty me of self, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. It's in your name we do pray. Amen. So in 1715, King Louis XIV of France died after he had reigned for 72 years. During his reign, though, he made this statement and he said, "I am the state." Not only did he say he was the state, but he called himself the Great. And he was a great king in the world's eyes. He had everything that one could possibly dream of here on this earth, and that all came to an end. But they tried to emphasize his greatness, and so they laid his body in a golden coffin. They brought his body to the auditorium that day, or to the sanctuary, the church, and they dimmed all of the lights and put a candle in front of his body to emphasize his greatness. And as the preacher walked out that morning and he noticed the lights dimmed and he noticed the candle in front of the coffin, he walked down and walked right over to where that candle was, and he bent over and he blew the candle out. And then he turned around and looked at everyone and he said this very boldly, and he said, "Only God is great." And you know, we need to be reminded in the society that we're living in that God is great. He's not just the God of the past, but He is the God that is still alive, and that He is still present, and that He still works in our lives, and God is still worthy of our praise. Because we've gotten away from praising God like we once did. This psalm is going to show us the greatness of God and the reason why He deserves to be praised. It is the first of six psalms of praise. Chapter 113 to 118 all deal with praising God, and they've all been linked with the Jewish feast, the Passover feast. It's very likely that the Jews sang the first two songs before the Passover meal, and the other ones after the Passover meal. So in Matthew 26:30, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. It is very likely that they sung this psalm of praise unto God. But since we're dealing with praise, we have to ask ourselves the question: what does the word praise mean? What's the definition of praise? This is what it says: to express approval or admiration towards someone or something. So three times alone in the opening verse of this psalm, the psalmist says, "Praise ye the Lord." Express approval unto God. Express admiration unto God, because He is worthy of our praise. This doesn't mean that we only praise Him when things are going well. You know, we tend to praise God when things are going well, don't we? When the finances are good, man, we're happy. And we're in church and we got a smile on our face. And man, we're saying hello to everybody. And we're telling everybody how God has blessed us. And we're letting it know that we're doing this and that. When our family's going well, your relationship with your spouse is going well, man, you're the happiest man alive. You're praising the Lord every day for your wife. When our kids are doing well, we're happy. We thank the Lord that they're doing good. When our health is doing good, man, we're excited. We're praising God and we're thanking Him for His goodness and His greatness. But oftentimes what happens is when it flips, and when the health isn't doing good, and when there's not harmony in the marriage, and when our kids aren't doing what they should be doing, and when the finances aren't like we think they should be, we begin to become critical to God, and we begin to kind of get angry at God, and we forget that He's still the same, and He's worthy of our praise today, and tomorrow, and the next day. Because the verse says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." That means that today you woke up and you praise His name for His goodness. And that means tomorrow, when things might not be as good and the health might not be as good, you still ought to praise Him. Because He's worthy of it. Of your praise and of my praise. But you know, I want to emphasize as well that when it says praise ye the Lord, this doesn't mean that you have to be exaggerate and go around everywhere saying, "Praise ye the Lord." You know, you don't have to say praise the Lord and try and look spiritual after every sentence. Okay? Wouldn't it be awkward if I run into your pastor and I'm coming out of the mall? Man, I'm loaded down with all of the bags that my wife bought. You know, all the dress shoes and all of the clothes. And man, you name it. Man, I'm carried down like this. And I run into your pastor. He's like, man, I see you got your hands full. How was shopping today? Oh, my wife spent about $1,000. Praise the Lord. That'd be really awkward. And he would know that I'm not praising the Lord that she spent $1,000. Okay, I'm probably mad. So, it's not saying you have to say praise the Lord after every sentence, after every time you get done speaking. It is a response to thinking about who God is and what He has done as revealed in His Word. You know, when we stop to think about the God of the Bible, and we stop to think about that He created the world in 6 literal days, and that He rested on the 7th, and when we stop to think about all the miracles that He's done, and when we stop to think about what God has showed us in His Word, you know what it's going to want to cause us to do? To just stop, and it's going to cause us to express approval, admiration unto Him, because He's worthy, He is great, and no other king will ever be as great as Him. Amen. And we'll want to praise Him. Or want to worship Him. I'm just going to throw this out here as well. That in our society that we're living in, we have gotten to where we are praising everything but God. We praise athletes, do we not? On any given Sunday, during football season, who is this area praising? The Cowboys. Now, they don't praise Tony Romo too often. Because he doesn't... I mean, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Praising the Cowboys. Praising the Texas Rangers. The Dallas Mavericks. I like the Thunder. Any Thunder fans in here? Amen. I knew you looked smart, brother. Go OKC. I like the Thunder. And I'll make it be known that I like Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. And I like the Thunder. I praise them. We praise musicians, do we not? Sure we do. We can go to a concert and we could see someone get up there and show off their talent and their abilities. And what will we do? We'll clap after they get done. I took my wife to a Christmas concert. And it was great. Loved it. But at one particular point in the concert, a guy gets down from the orchestra and he really didn't look like much. Okay, you look at this guy and you're like, man, he's not going to do nothing. He's really skinny, really small, oriental guy. Pulls out his violin. Violin's about as big as him, you know. Then he just begins to play really soft. And he's moving his fingers, you know, really fast. And then he begins to walk all over the podium. And he's looking, and then he looks at us. And man, next thing you know, he's closing his eyes. And he's still walking, and the violin's going back and forth like this. And man, he gets over here to this side, and still his eyes are closed the whole time. And everybody's just in awe. And then he's walking and he takes off. Da-da-da-da. And we're all like, wow, that's pretty impressive. Man, you know what we did when he got done? We stood to our feet and man, we began to clap and some lady in front of me had a cowbell. Like she was at a baseball game or something. And began ringing her cowbell. I mean, it was amazing. Everybody was so excited and praising this musician. We praise musicians, don't we? We praise our wives. Men, you ought to praise your wives whether the cooking is good or whether it's bad. You ought to praise your wives. Wives, you ought to praise your husband. Whether he's superhero or not, you ought to praise him. We praise our children, don't we? When they're good, that's my boy. And when they're bad, that's mama's boy. Right? We do. We praise everything imaginable. But why is that true? Because we enjoy those things. We enjoy those people. Therefore, it causes us to want to praise them. One more illustration. Back in September last year, I went to the Argentina-Mexico soccer game. Okay, I'd never been before to a soccer game. Always wanted to go. And they played right here at the AT&T Stadium. So I was really debating it, and I just felt led of the Holy Spirit that I needed to go. You know? So, man, I went to this game, and I drove down to the game from Oklahoma City. It was four Mexicans. I'm from Argentina. So the whole time down there, we're talking smack to each other, who's going to win. And we get to the game or to the stadium, and I begin to notice something, that I'm kind of out of place. I'm wearing my Argentina jersey, and everybody around me is coming by in the cars, screaming in Spanish, thinking that I don't know what they're saying. But I do. I just waved at them, and God bless you. I probably shouldn't repeat neither what they were saying. Man, I got inside, and in my particular section, there's probably only five or six Argentina jerseys. We are outnumbered. It is not looking good. But you know what? As soon as the Argentina team stepped on the field, I stood to my feet. I didn't care who was around me. I didn't care how many Mexicans were there. I was just letting it be known that I was for Argentina, and that's who I was cheering for. Man, and I was screaming and hollering, and Argentina started losing 1-0, and I began to hear it from the fans. We went down 2-0, and they were already celebrating the victory and high-fiving and saying all kinds of things to me. We tied 2-2. Glory, hallelujah, the ride home was a lot better. And I began to think about it. Here I am at a soccer game. These guys that have talent to kick the ball or whatever. And I'm hooting and hollering. And I don't care what other people are thinking about me, because I'm there to praise this team. I was outnumbered, but it didn't hinder the fact that I wanted it to be known that I enjoyed Argentina's soccer. And you know what? As Christians, we are outnumbered in this world, and not everybody is excited that we try to live for God, and not everybody is going to pat us on the back because we try to raise our family in church, and we try to teach our children about the Bible stories, and then we try to instill in them the Word of God. Not everybody is exactly excited, and I just want to say that we ought not to be embarrassed or ashamed about praising the name of God, and we ought not to shut up and be quiet. But yet we ought to get it loud, and we ought to let it be known that we're saved and that we're on our way to heaven and that we serve a risen God who isn't dead, but He's alive. And yet so many times we walk around and we don't want to offend anybody, so we won't mention the name Christ. Oh, well, we're just living in a world where if I mention Christ, everybody's going to hate me and I'm not going to have no friends. Well, we're living in the end times. But God is still on the throne, and He hasn't changed His word, and He still is worthy of your praise, whether you're on the job site or whether you're in your home with your family. You ought to praise His name. Because many times we get more excited, listen, about a football game, and if it goes into overtime, the better. But if the preacher goes 10 or 15 minutes over, I'll go. I'm not going back to that church. As this shows us, I'm not trying to be mean or critical, but it shows us that we've gotten away from praising Him like He deserves to be praised. Amen. For you're not praising the Lord. Listen, this is key. And who He is, it is more than likely that you are not enjoying who He is because you are not spending time with Him. Because when you truly enjoy something or someone, your desire is to spend time with that person. Think of the teenager that's looked over there, and you know how it is when they start liking somebody. They're on the phone at 2-3 in the morning. Oh, I just can't stop thinking about you. And what a great day we had tonight at this and all. On and on. They could spend all night, all day talking to him. And then they get up and they call him first thing they do when they get up. They want to go everywhere with them. And you know, that's how it was too when we got saved. Many of us, we got saved and man, we wanted to serve God and we wanted to be in church every service. We didn't want to miss an activity. We wanted to see what we could get involved in. Man, we were there. We were on fire. But slowly, as time went by, it happened because we're human. We begin to forget about what God has done and we just kind of begin to, oh, I can miss church this time. Oh, and I don't need to get involved in this ministry and surely it will be okay. And what happens is we get away from God and we begin to, oh, I can miss my Bible reading today, and I can miss prayer today, oh, and I can miss prayer this whole week. Of course, I'm on vacation. Am I supposed to sleep in? And what happens is we drift away from God, and we stop enjoying Him like we once did, and then we come to church, and it's like, oh, here we go again. Church. Singing the same old song, Amazing Grace. I've sung it how many times? And we can begin looking at the clock, wondering when the football game is going to start, and watch for lunch and the crowds at the restaurant, where we forget that God is worthy to be praised. C.S. Lewis said it like this: as humans, we delight to praise what we enjoy, because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. If we delight in a beautiful sunset, we want to express its beauty to others. Our enjoyment of it spontaneously overflows into praise. Our enjoyment of who God is and what He has done should also erupt in heartfelt praise. Read the Word of God. Think that He died for the whole world. Praise the Lord. Think that we can come before Him and ask forgiveness of our sins. Praise the Lord. Because we mess up on a daily basis. But God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we will come before Him and ask Him. You know, God is so great that in verse number 3, it says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. That doesn't mean from time the sun comes up till it sets, praise Him. It means as far as the east from the west, north from the south, His name ought to be praised. And I think you and me would agree that His name is not being praised as far as east from the west. His name is not being praised as far as north from the south. His name is not being praised right here in all of the state of Texas this morning. His name is not being praised all across our nation this morning. Hey, His name is not being praised this morning all over Argentina. There aren't just thousands gathering to praise God. His name is not being praised in Brazil this morning. Hey, all these different countries, His name is not being praised. And because deep down inside of man, they desire to praise something. That is why people got up very early this morning in the Middle East and they went to their temple and they went through a ritual and they bowed down to these false gods and these idols that are dead, that can hear nothing that they say. And that is why people today will crowd in the stadiums and they'll scream and they'll holler and they'll miss church. Hey, because they don't know about the greatness of God. They don't know how great He is and what He can do, and they want to praise something, so they're praising Him. And because of the lack of praise, we therefore need missions. Because until we go around the world and tell them about the great King, they will continue to remain praising everything but the true and living God. God is great. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but let's just read the next verses. Verse 4. It tells us once again about the greatness of God. It says He's high above all nations, and His glory is above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Who is like unto the Lord our God? Points to His sovereignty. How He rules over the entirety of His creation. And how that nothing happens apart from His sovereign will or permission. Psalms 103:19 says, the Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. We serve a God that can speak, and He can calm the storm. We serve a God that can speak and He can lift up the dead, make them walk again. We serve the God that can speak and He can make the blind to see. Hey, do you know any other man, any other king that could do that? No. Don't matter who gets in office, they're not going to be able to do what God does. They're not going to be able to change this country. God can.
Amen.
If He desires. Verse number six goes into a little bit more detail. Who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? This great King humbles Himself to behold the heavens and the earth. He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill. Hey, listen, God is so great that He's not concerned about people's financial situation. He wants to pick up the poor. He wants to pick up the needy. Hey, He wants to pick up that person that is understands that his spiritual condition is away from Him. He understands that he needs a Savior. He wants to lift that person up. Why? So that He can set him with princesses, even with His princesses. He picked you and me up. Hey, if you're saved today, He picked you up when you didn't look like much, when you lived a life that was full of sin and full of wickedness and full of disobedience to the Word of God. You know what? He saw you and He picked you up out of that clay that you were in, and He set your feet on a solid rock. Why? Did He have to? No. But He loved you. And He wants you to sit with princesses, even with the princesses of His people. In verse number 9, He maketh the barren woman to keep house and be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. I can't help but think of Sarah in her old age. As the mother rejoices as the mother of him in whom the promised seed would come. Rachel and Hannah, who were filled with maternal joy when they were barren. God saw fit to give them children. God is great. Now we would all come to that conclusion after reading this. And I'm not going to go much, but you can just... You praise the Lord by singing unto Him. Psalms 95, 1 through 3. Psalms 100, 1 and 2. You praise the Lord by praying unto Him. But go back to verse 1 because I want us to emphasize here. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Notice the next part. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Servants of the Lord refers either to the entire nations, God's chosen servants, or to individuals in the nation who had experienced God's redemption. Before you and me could ever praise Him, we had to first know Him. Before you could ever praise Him like He deserves to be praised, you had to first come to a point and place where you knew Him, where you knew who He was, where you met Him personally, where you understand that this King died for you, and you came to an old-fashioned altar there at your home or wherever it was, and you asked the Lord, the King of Kings, to come into your heart and to make you one of His children, one of His servants. At that point, you became part of the family of God, and it is then when you can begin to praise His name like He deserved to be praised. But as I already mentioned, there are millions today that cannot praise Him because they do not know Him. They have not heard about the love of Jesus Christ. They haven't heard that this King is willing to forgive anyone. They haven't heard that it doesn't matter the country that they were born in, or it doesn't matter their family background, that God wants to give them a new life. So as a Missions Emphasis Sunday, we could ask this question. Why do missionaries go to these other countries? Why do they learn for many, learn a new language that they've never spoken before? Why do they travel all across America to raise money to go? Sleep in different places, night in and night out. Why do they leave loved ones, family, churches, places that they feel comfortable? Why do they go and knowing that it's dangerous? Why do they go knowing that it could be very hard and challenging for their children, for their wife? Why do they go knowing that many places have animals that we don't really like snakes? Does anybody like snakes? No, I didn't think so. Why would we go to these places and go and move our families and the expense and try and get adjusted to their culture? For one reason. So that His name can be praised in every nation. We don't go because we don't have anything else to do. We don't go because, oh man, it's going to be great. Go to this different country, man. Try all these different foods, man. Sleep in these places where I'm afraid at nighttime whether I'm going to wake up in the morning or not. We go so His name can be praised. So they too can know about this great King of the Bible. Why do we give? Why would you fill out a faith promise commitment card or whatever you call it at your missions conference? Why would you give on a weekly basis or why would you give on a monthly basis? The world would look at you and say, man, could you not invest in other things? Could you not go on more vacations? Could you not invest in a bigger home? Could you not invest in a bigger boat? Could you not enjoy life more? After all, we're all going to die. And they may not understand. But you do. You give so that others can go, so that His name can be praised. Amen. See, because in the end, it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about pleasing God, and about taking His name to every nation. Amen. We have a great responsibility. You know, I can knock on a door in Argentina, and I can mention the name God to some people, and they'll look at me like, who's he? I could mention we're going to have a church service. What's a church service? Well, it's where you go and you sing and you open up the Bible and you teach it and you learn from the Bible. Oh, well, I've never been to one of those before. A king died for me? How does he even know about me? Because he's great. And he loves you. And he wants to give you a new life. God is great. And he is worthy of our praise. Now let's close. You may be here this morning. And you don't know him yet. You've never come to an understanding. Or you've never met the King. Oh, you may have grown up in church. You may have heard about the Bible. You may know the stories. You may know that Jesus died for you. But you've never humbled yourself yet and allowed Him to be your King, to be your Lord and Savior. You may have grown up in a Christian home, but yet you've never met Him. Hey, you may be saved this morning, and you may be here, you may be here every service, but deep down inside, you know, that desire to praise His name isn't the same as it once was, or isn't the same as it was last year, or isn't the same when you got saved. I have to ask you, why not? Are you letting things slip? Are you stopped enjoying a relationship with God? Have you stopped reading your Bible? Have you stopped praying? Have you stopped meditating upon the Word of God and pondering about what He's done in your life? Then, hey, it's more than likely that if you're not praising Him, you're over here. You're not enjoying who He is. You're not spending time with Him. It's time to get back to spending time with Him and praising His name. It won't be a chore no more to read your Bible. To pray. You'll look forward to the opportunity to get alone with God and be able to praise His name. I'm not standing up here proclaiming to be perfect. There's days when I know that I'm not praising Him like I should. And I need a constant reminder. God, You're great. You're greater than anything else. Your name needs to be praised. No matter my circumstance, no matter the situation, Your name needs to be praised in my life and around the world. Let's make sure that the nations can praise His name. Father, we love You. Lord, I just want to stop and say thank You for giving me the voice to preach this morning. I've been struggling with my voice. Lord, I just thank You for the strength to preach Your word, for allowing us to be in Your house on this Lord's Day. Lord, there's no doubt in my mind that in a congregation this size, maybe someone is here and they don't know You yet. They haven't met You yet. They died today. They want to spend eternity with You. Lord, help them not to leave this place today without meeting the great King, the One who is worthy to be praised. And maybe there's some Christian in here this morning that their apathy is, they just have an apathy for the things of God, and there's just no desire, no zeal why they're present physically. Their heart is far from here. Why they may even be given to missions. They may be thinking, man, I could invest it in other things. And Lord, they need to get back to a place where they understand who You are and what You've done. And remember that it's not about them, it's about You being praised here and around the world. Bless this invitation, Lord, as You see fit. In Your name we do pray. Amen.